Luke chapter 19, if you'll go there. And then we're going to move around the scriptures just a bit, read three different portions while we're standing. I'll direct you. But let's go to Luke chapter 19, first of all. And we're going to read the opening of a parable, just the opening few verses of one parable. And then we're going to go to two other places. Luke chapter number 19. You'll look down at verse number 11, Luke 19, 11. Let's all stand, if you're able to, for the reading of the Bible. Luke chapter 19, verse 11. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy, occupy till I come. What a statement, occupy till I come. Back in Matthew chapter 28, if you want to flip back a couple books, Matthew chapter 28, the very last chapter of Matthew. Of course, many times from this pulpit by this pastor and other preachers, you've heard read the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28. And verse number 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's go to Acts chapter number 1, and we'll read a couple verses there, have a word of prayer, and then we're going to present the vision for 2018, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Acts chapter 1, if you'll look at verse number 7, Acts chapter 1, verse number 7. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Heavenly Father, Lord, an important night, because, Lord, tonight we begin to lay the groundwork for all that we hope that will happen. Lord, thank you for your direction in this. Thank you for speaking to my heart, Lord. Thank you for a church, dear God, Lord, there's an air of excitement about a new year and what God could use us for. Thank you for this opportunity to stop and celebrate this year, 45th anniversary of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I just shake my head. I don't know where all the years went. But thank you, Lord, for what you've allowed this place to do. And Lord, even though we are going to spend a year celebrating and remembering, we also want to spend a year also, Lord, working, going forward, and continuing in the path, dear God, building upon the foundation that's been laid. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I want to give you some Bible principles as we kick off the night, that we take out of Luke chapter 19, Matthew chapter 28, Acts chapter number 1. I don't think a thing that you'll hear tonight will be new to you, because we have consistently tried to keep this as the focal point of Blessed Hope Baptist Church throughout the history, 45-year history of the church. Not just this preacher, but those that have preceded me. And I'm just excited to be able to just try to keep the thing on course. Amen. And so let me give you some Bible principles that we learn out of these verses. Number one, we have been commissioned by our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ, to deliver the gospel to the world. What a command, what a commission, what a responsibility. And so we get that, of course, out of the Great Commission, where Jesus says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So that's been taught and preached practically from the opening Sunday of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We've tried to keep the focal point of the ministry in fulfilling the Great Commission and getting the gospel to the lost. Number two, we are to do this by affecting our Jerusalem and our Judea and our Samaria and also the uttermost parts of the earth. You've heard me say this a number of times. I believe a small town church should have a worldwide impact. I want to say it again tonight. I think it's not only our responsibility to affect our Jerusalem, but also our Judea, Samaria, the uttermost. Preacher, how do you define those things? I want us to affect our Jerusalem, which we'll take a look at in just a minute. I think if you're going to tell people we need to reach our Jerusalem, you better define specifically what we're supposed to reach. But at the same time, Southern Indiana is kind of what I consider our Judea. And you know what? Blessed Hope Baptist Church is continuing to have an impact, not just in this place, but also in other places across Southern Indiana. And then I think we ought to look at America and just say, you know what? We have a responsibility to touch this nation for the Lord Jesus Christ and to do some things that go beyond our borders. And of course, if you walk up and down Missionary Hall, and you see on our annual business meeting, you'll see the amount of money that's gone through our missions department, and we are, doing our best. We can't all go, obviously. We can't all go, but I want to get behind financially some people that are going into as many different places. These missionaries that leave America, leave their home country, and take the gospel to a foreign country, leave family, leave all that they know, they're champions at this place. They're heroes in our heart and in our eyes. And so we want to get behind them and do this. So we want to do all of those things simultaneously. And so affecting our Jerusalem while we're affecting our Judea, while we're touching our nation, while we're also empowering and helping people that are going to the uttermost. Number three, we cannot do this. Well, this is a good reminder. We cannot do these things. Fulfill the Great Commission, affect these areas. We cannot do this without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit of God. Let's not forget that Acts 1, verse number 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. And boy, I want to be the first one to say everything that we're going to try to accomplish this year. Folks, let's all be reminded, we can't do it in our own strength. We can't do it in our own power. We can't do it through the power of the flesh. Now, listen, God expects us to obey the commands he's laid out. His call and prayer request is for laborers to go into the harvest. Don't behind this idea of, well, we just pray and God does all of it, you know. But sometimes we think we're doing all of it and we don't stop and pray either. There's two extremes there. So let's be busy doing what we can do for the Lord, but let's also be reminded we cannot do this without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit of God. And we're going to preach some and often this year on the importance of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it. Everything we lay out tonight, if we think we can do it on our own through our flesh, it won't happen. So I wanted to say that, number three. Number four, we are to carry out this great commission in an organized military fashion, the same way an invading army would occupy an enemy territory. Now that takes us back to Luke chapter 19 and what we read there. He called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, what an interesting phrase, occupy till I come. During World War II, there was two parts of France. They would call part of it occupied France and another part of it unoccupied France. What does that mean? That means that the German army had come in and occupied part of France. And there was another part that was not occupied. And that's the same word, same exact thought process that the Lord Jesus Christ gave us. We as a church have to look at this and say, you know what, folks? Hey, the Satan is the prince and power of the air. And by the way, I love Jacksonville. I love Green Clay, Sullivan County. This is my home. I love Indiana. I love the United States of America. But honestly, folks, my citizenship is in another place. And you know what? This earth, prince and power of the air, we need to occupy. We ought to see our church as an army that's going out to occupy these different areas and to carry out this great commission in an organized fashion. Let all things be done decently and in order. It's a shame, I believe, that it seems like the devil's more organized than the church. And he's been able to pull off in a military fashion his influence while we're kind of floundering around without a plan. And so we need to occupy until Christ comes. Number five, we are to be busy doing this till our master returns. That's the five things. So we've been commissioned to deliver the gospel to the world by our master, Lord and Master Jesus Christ. We want to influence our Jerusalem simultaneously. It affect are Judea and Samaria and all the way into the uttermost parts. We cannot do this without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit of God. We ought to carry this out in an organized military fashion, the same way an invading army would occupy an enemy territory. And we need to be busy doing this until Jesus comes again. And so, reminders of things that have been taught over and over again here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And again, none of that's new. Just every year, I guess, we just go to the Lord and say, Lord, is there a new way, a better way that we can do this? Is there a new program? Is there, Lord, what is your will for us this year? In the back, on the back desk there, after the service, you'll see an orange, I think they're orange, kind of yellow, orange piece of paper, two papers stapled together. You'll want to get a copy on the way out. And some of that is the calendar that we have for this year. That'll give you an idea to be able to know and plan ahead and know when the key dates are, what we're doing this year as far as the key dates. And then in the back of that, there is a presentation of what I'm going to present tonight. So there's no need to take real detailed notes because you're going to get all this written out for you anyway. But there's something I want to introduce tonight in which I've entitled Operation Occupation. This is what we're going to do for our 45th anniversary year at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. First of all, let me just quickly touch some highlights in our calendar so that I can give a few explanations. Many of the things that's in our calendar we've done from year to year, and they don't need an explanation. You just need to know the dates and what's going on. In January, of course, we're going to do our vision night tonight, our abortion awareness project that's been on hold, but Lord willing, this Saturday, we'll get it done. And then also then on January 28th, Sunday night, it's in your bulletin, we're going to do our first of several Blessed Hope Baptist Church after service fellowships. And one of the reasons that I moved up the service from 7 o'clock to 6 o'clock is that I would like to be able to, while we're here, and it's so much easier to do while we're here, people's lives are so busy, and it seems like to try to find another day every month to try to get folks to get back here, hey, we're here. We start the service at 6 on those nights. We'll get done about 7 o'clock, be able to go out to the fellowship hall and just have some fellowship. We need fellowship, and the church needs to get together as a family. Not only that, this is a great opportunity to invite some of our Sunday morning only folks, and they'll come to something like this. Get them in the habit of coming to some Sunday nights. And so reach out to these people and invite them and try to get them to come. I've got three couples from my young adult class that have agreed to take charge and of the planning and executing of these Blessed Hope Baptist Church after service fellowships. And so I got a team that's going to be busy about doing that. I put the guys in charge, knowing that they're not really in charge of any of this. Their wives will organize it, do all the work, and the guys will be at the door shaking your hands, taking credit for all of it. And but we're going to have a good time, and I do appreciate their help. Now, that's what we're going to do in January. January, we're going to lay a lot of groundwork. January, we're going to do a lot of teaching. January, we're going to put things in place. I'm going to have meetings till people are tired of me having meetings. But folks, we need to be organized in this. We need to get this thing done right, all right? So then February, of course, is Missions Emphasis Month, and you'll see in there we have three brand new missionaries that you've never met before coming. And then on February 11th, Brother Jonathan Reiser's made arrangement to have somebody there at his church on Sunday morning, and he's going to come back to Blessed Hope Baptist Church and give us an update on the church plant in Princeton, Indiana. And so that'll be fun, and doing what we do on most of our Februarys. And then, again, I'm shooting to try to have the after-service fellowship on the last Sunday night of February of each month. So on February 25th, Sunday night, we'll do our 6 o'clock service, go back out. I have decided to do something that would be fun for Missions Emphasis Month. I was at a church that did this. It was so much fun. So you ladies can think about this. But on that after service fellowship, in recognition in the spirit of our Missions Emphasis Month, and we're going to have an international flavor. I want to have about maybe 10 or 12 different tables set up. Maybe we can get some teams of some ladies working together. But I'd like you to choose a country. And I'd like you to do the research. And I'd like you to decorate it. And I'd like you to fix food that would be what that country would normally be serving and we'll just go out there and it'll be one huge, gigantic international buffet. Amen. And then, you know, later on during the night, your stomach will be fighting World War III. But you know what? We'll worry about that later. We ain't going to worry about that while we're over there. We're just going to do it, and it'll be awesome. And so if you got some ideas on that, that'd be great. Okay. And so that's February. And we do pretty much the same thing in February. March, I didn't mention this, but March, and by the way, every month we've had a theme under our theme, God is so good. So in January, God is so good, so let's give him our best. February, God is so good, so let's tell the world. March, God is so good, so let's be holy. Let's be holy. And I'm doing that early on this month, very important. I mentioned this, I think, in one of the services. But every single service, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Lord, that's what the Lord's directed me to this point, unless he changes. Every single service, I want to teach on this matter of sanctification and holiness and separation. And I'm not talking about just getting up and ranting and raving. I'm talking about opening the Word of God and giving people Bible reasons why we do what we do, Bible explanations. I want our young people not to just be borrowing their parents' convictions until they grow up and then leave the house. I want them to have the Word of God and understand that those convictions aren't just something that we've chosen. The Bible chose us to do them. And I want them to have Bible reasons for what they do. And so we're going to be teaching that. March 2nd, we're going to, let me skip that. We'll also in the month of March have our young people attend the Young Fundamentalist Conference. We're going to do another Blessed Hope Baptist Church Couples Retreat, March 16th and 17th, Friday and Saturday. If you didn't get to go last time, I think if you'll talk to anybody that came, they had a great time. And so if you can, it can come. For those of you that it works out, that's great. And then after church fellowship, I want to hurry here. April, God is so good, so let's fill up his house. And, of course, we'll kick off April with Easter Sunday, also our spring attendance campaign. And our then on April 29th, that Sunday, last Sunday in April, we'll have our anniversary celebration Sunday. And then we'll continue on with a service on Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. Starts April 29th, goes into May 4th. And we're going to bring all of the young people that are out in full-time work back that week. And we're going to have services each night, two preachers every night. And we have to let them all preach. Isn't that an exciting thing? And the ones that will be preaching that night will be young people that grew up here, and or they married somebody that grew up here. And I think that'll be a fun time, exciting time for us. And so we've got a lot of things going on that month. That'll be a big celebration month. Now, in May, we're going to use the theme, God is so good, so let's celebrate our heritage. And I'm going to take that month and do a lot of teaching and I think helping our young people in this matter of understanding the history of our church, going back and revisiting some of the victories that God's given us. We want to go look at the foundation on this church was built upon. I'm watching a lot of young preachers taking independent fundamental Baptist church that has a history of being strong on some things. And what they want to do is they want to come in, they want to take a jackhammer, and they want to destroy the foundation upon which the church stands. I could call them out right now. One of my dearest friends pastored a very large, successful church. And when his health went bad, one of his assistant pastors became the pastor of it. And, you know, with just within 18 months, he had completely changed the dynamics of the church, had completely taken them in a contemporary progressive direction, had dropped standards. And you know what? That church went from being a successful, thriving church down, whittled down to just a shadow of what it was. And then guess what the guy did? Decided it was time for him to leave and take another church somewhere else. Let me tell you something. That's dishonest. That is dishonest. For a young preacher to go and take a church that has a history of a direction and decide you're going to be that person. Listen, if you want to be that, go take one of those churches that's already that. But that's crooked. I said it's crooked. And so anyway, we want to go back and understand what God's done here and build upon those things. Of course, that'll be a Blessed Hope Baptist School graduation. Mother's Day is that month. Last day of school. And all of those things. So, and then in June, God is so good, so let's tell the children. We'll have our VBS that first full week in June. Father's Day, we're going to do what we call a bus in Sunday school, Summer Spectacular Sunday. It'll be great. We're going to do one in July, too, just to kind of keep the bus attendance up, have some excitement through the summer. God is so good in July, so let's give our lives to Him. We're going to take the young people to a youth conference that month, have junior camp that month, and some other things. And then in August, we're going to have y'all come to our house. We'll do the church-wide picnic, and then we'll get school started again. September, let's move on. September, God is so good. So let's pay the price for souls. Now, September, we're going to do something we've never done before in the way we're going to do it. And I'm really torn about how much to talk about it in advance. You know, I think for some things to work, we shouldn't probably spend a lot of time talking about it. We ought to spend a lot of time praying about it. And we're going to do something that I've had in my heart, and the Lord just wouldn't leave me alone about. But I've set aside 2 weeks. I'm just going to kind of give you the basics of it. By the way, I don't want you to run around and tell other churches this is what we're going to do in September. Okay, let's not talk about it. Let's not brag about what hasn't happened yet. Let's not brag about anything. Amen. But let me just tell you what's in my heart. And I'm going to, again, teach and educate. And I'm asking God to do something unusual. I've set aside 2 weeks, the last 2 weeks of September. And I'm calling it our Blessed Hope Baptist Church Fall Prayer, Revival, and Soul Winning Days. I really believe that there's a formula that's in the Bible that we've taught and preached and we never really just followed exactly. But I'm eat up with Acts 1 and Acts 2. Eat up with it. Remember I said we can't do any of this without the Holy Spirit and His power. You know, everybody wants an Acts chapter 2, but very few people will want to do what's found in Acts chapter 1 so they can see in Acts chapter 2. And you know what? Blessed Hope Baptist Church may not prove to be the ones to do it either. But I am going to start on a Sunday. And for 10 days, we're just going to open the church up and all the time. And we're going to have opportunities for people. I'd like someone to be in this church, groups of people praying for 10 days. And we're praying about one thing, one place, one accord, one request. And that is, that'll start on a Sunday and it'll end on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. On Wednesday night, we want to kick off on a Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night, and then into Sunday. We're going to have evangelistic meetings every single night here, and they'll be evangelistic. That's what it is. It's not a revival for the church, it's evangelistic. And then for all day on Thursday, all day on Friday, all day on Saturday, and Sunday, will be days of doing what the apostles did. After 10 days of sequestering themselves away and praying for the fullness of the Holy Spirit, they went out and through public preaching and personal soul winning got to see an enormous harvest of souls. An unusual and amazing thing happened. The baptistry will be filled every night, warmed up, ready to go. We are going to ask God to give us an unusual harvest of souls. But you know what? We're not going to do anything for 10 days except pay the price so that we can see what we are asking God to do for us. I'm going to have you turn in names in the summer. We're going to organize this starting in June and build up to it. I want a list of names, family members, people that you're concerned about, people that some of you have prayed for years about certain family members, and you want to see them saved. Some of you have neighbors and friends that you ask God to save, and you've done it for years. If you're willing to share those names, I want our church to get together and pray, and we're going to target those folks, and we're going to go see those folks, and we're going to talk to those folks. See, I just believe something. I believe that what happened in Acts chapter 2, God looked down and saw 120 people that really decided to get serious about this thing, and He just let them see something unusual. Again, folks, I'm not doing this so I can call preacher friends or write a book. I'm doing this because the Bible teaches this formula, and I think the Church of Jesus Christ, I think we just missed it, and I want to do it, and I'll tell you more about it. But in September, the last 2 weeks, if you'll mark that and save those, and by the way, I know people work jobs. I get it. And you know what? I think in those 10 days in the upper room, I'm not sure those 120 Christians never left that room. I'm not sure there wasn't some coming and going. We don't know for sure. There very well may could have been. But I know this, they got serious, and there was a central location where they all kept going back to, and they were going to get a hold of God. And so September, we're going to just pay the price so that God can God can see, allow us to see an unusual harvest of souls. In October, God is so good, so let's look for His coming. And almost all of the preaching in October will be on the end times and looking for that blessed hope. What is the blessed hope? What are the signs of the coming of the Lord? What's happening right now that we ought to be paying attention to? What will happen here on earth after Christ's return? What will eternity be like for the children of God? What will eternity be like for the lost? And so in October, we're going to focus on that theme. We've got some events for the church, and then you can see it on your calendar. November, I'm going to do something I've entitled 30 Days of Thankfulness. We'll explain that when we get closer to November, but again, it'll be something that I think will help our church and other special events. Sunday, November 11th, November 11th, Veterans Day falls on a Sunday. We're going to have a special Veterans Day service on that Sunday also. And then December, we'll finish the year like we do at Blessed Hope Baptist Church with our Christmas banquet, Sword Sunday, and cantata, and the different things we have planned for that year. Now, I want to take the remainder of our time, and I want to talk about Operation Occupation. Jesus said a certain nobleman, he was speaking about himself, by the way, went into a far country, well, that's where he's at now, to receive for himself a kingdom. You know what? And to return. What an amazing little phrase there. He went to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. But before he left, he called his 10 servants, delivered them 10 pounds, and said, occupy till I come. Now, let me explain just a couple things that's going on before I get into Operation Think of It, because I need you praying about our bus ministry. We've had the bus ministry map redone. Starting this Sunday, bus captains, I'm going to give our bus ministry a briefing right now while I'm here so that I can do that. But this coming Sunday, Lord willing, Lord, please, the weather, please, so we can get this done. We're going to start the new boundaries and start running the routes the way they're laid out here now. And Brother Jeff Reiser's captaining 101. We've taken 101, and it's including what it has included, short of Worthington. We're no longer including Worthington. And the new small bus that we have, Brother Jeff is going to use to run through here and then come over to Linton, meet the Linton bus. And we've taken those two parts of those two routes and put them into one route here. They'll come to church together on a bus together. And so pray for Brother Jeff Reiser. And I need to stop here. I'm not going to say it every single time. But I'm going to tell you something. We owe a debt of gratitude to Brother John Reiser and his wife Terry for all the years that they worked there. And by the way, they're still working. Brother Terry's sister Terry's still there and working on that route. And the people on 202 that was on the old 202 still there. And I appreciate it. Brother John. Hey, folks, pray for Brother John. Pray for Brother. I got a note on my desk. Sister Terry, I want to call you this week. I want to come over and see him. I talked to Jonathan this week, and he kind of caught me up. And Brother John's just not doing well, folks. He's just not doing well, so we need to pray for him. But we're going to get that. That'll be 101. And then 202, we're going to combine Worthington and Jasonville and basically all of the country in between here. And there's a new bus captain. And I'm excited about this. Brother Lucas Abel is going to be the captain of this new route. And I've looked at that young man and watched him. And I kind of counted the days waiting for him to get his driver's license. He had to take the test about 7 times, kept failing it. But finally, praise the Lord, he got his, not his, no, he, I think he passed it first time. But I've watched this young man, and I kept praying over, Lord, I need a bus captain for this. And you know what? God just kept bringing me back to this young man. Say, preacher, I don't know if we've ever had a teenage boy have a bus route before. Well, we haven't had too many of these kind of teenage boys. And you pray for him, by the way. And I'm not saying these things, and I think he knows this, to give him a big head. I think he understands he can't do this without the Lord. And you know what? His dad's going to be his captain or his driver, so he'll be able to boss his dad around. And by the way, good luck with that, all right? And we'll see how that goes. And Brother Brian Morris and his family are taking this route up here. We're moving Brother Justin Daffron, who lives all the way over here anyway. So they're going to work together, those two families, to reach Patricksburg, Coal City, and Clay City, and then come on in. And then Brother Val Loveless, we've taken Jasonville from that route, and I want him to concentrate more into the Shelburne, Farmersburg, Hymera, Lewis, Colmont area. So they'll be running that route with his helper. So this will be Brother Val, and then Brother Levi Hall,
We're taking Sullivan through Duggar, and then Linton used to have Vicksburg and Midland. We're going to give that to this route, and we've talked to the bus captains. Well, I think they all understand what we're doing. We're going to make the switch next week, and then that'll give us a few weeks to work the bugs out and get ready for the spring program coming up. And during the month of February, Lord willing, what I want to do is I'm going to give you a week or two to work the bugs out, then I'm going to take a Sunday morning, and I want to ride every single one of the bus routes, because one of the best, I want to do it anyway just because I love the bus ministry, but I also just want to see how it runs and get so that when I'm talking to you later on, I got an idea of what you're trying to tell me, and so that'll be fun, and I'll have a blast with the kids, and it'll be a good time, okay? And so we've reworked the bus routes, and you be praying for our bus captains, and by the way, the bus workers. Oh, man, we've got so many neat things I want to stop and tell you about. But one of the things that we're developing is a card that's the size of a half piece of paper right here that introduces the bus ministry. It'll have a picture of all our newly painted buses and all of our workers out in front of them. And then on the back, we're going to have it quartered in the corner here. There'll be a little message from me as the pastor. And then on the back, we'll have it quartered like this. We'll introduce every card. We'll have a card for every bus route. It'll be different for every route. In this first corner, we'll introduce to the people who their bus captain is and their family and tell a little bit about them and give contact information on how to get a hold of them. And then over here, I want a picture of all of the workers that work on that bus route, and so that they're introduced to them, the driver and the workers. And then on this corner down here, I want to get a picture of everybody at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. You're not in the bus ministry, but you're waiting at the front door. I mean, you know what? Sunday school teachers, children's church workers. I want people to see that there is an army of people waiting when they send their kid to minister to those kids, the children's ministry, a list of them, and the group of the people that are there working with our young people to do that. And then in the last corner, I forget what I was going to do, last corner, I think that I actually was going to introduce our mechanics, because I think it's an important message to send that we are not just doing this haphazardly, and that we have people that are maintaining our buses and are working on our buses and keeping things going so that they can see this. And so we're going to develop that card, and Lord willing, by the time spring program, that'll be ready to go, and we'll have those things too. So we'll be doing that. Now, let me talk to you about Operation Occupation, Occupy Till I Come. Folks, look at this map here. Every bus captain, if you talk to them, even though I have all of this area is green, Brother Brian, is it logistically possible for that bus to run every one of those roads and still get here at church in time? So it is possible. It is possible. Sometimes if we're not careful, we just see that and think, well, that area is taken care of then. Most of our buses literally have the time to run between the populated areas. They may choose to go, for instance, they'll leave Jasonville. They may use 48 to get there, pick up some kids on the way, choose another route home. But you have to understand, there's only so much time we can have a kid on a bus for a lot of reasons. But, you know, we can't have kids riding the bus for 2.5 hours before they get to church and those type of things. So I just want you to understand, even though they are going to work these areas and that's their target areas, the honest truth is, if you look at this map and think, well, the bus workers have that area taken care of, they're not hitting all those stores. They're chasing down, they've got to visit all their regulars. They got to spend time trying to sign up new riders every week. There's just no way for them to go through it. So as I was looking at this map, I think the Lord began to speak in my heart and say, you know what, there's a lot of our Jerusalem that's just not systematically being reached for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we had the old map in my office, and I found a dry eraser marker, and I thought, I wonder if this will come off. But I knew that I wasn't going to use it anyway because we were changing the route. So I went like this and took a paper towel, wiped it off, and it wiped off, and I said, oh, yay, I'm going to have fun now. And I just began to draw lines and pray over and figure out what to do here. And I divided our Jerusalem into what I'm calling 20 mission fields. 20 mission fields. You say, what about this area? Well, Gerald Clancy's down there. And I'm going to give him another year to do something. If he keeps messing around, then we'll come down and take over. But No, he's doing all right. He's doing a good job. So I just think some of you are looking out here saying, well, why did you leave that area there? Well, that's why. Thank God the Blessed Hope Baptist Church is reaching this area. Through a church, we are able to plant, restart in the Bloomfield area. And so that's exciting that that is being taken care of. Now, what about these other areas? Let me just read down through here, because if I don't go through this the right way, then I'll backtrack and jump around, and I want to make sure I'm saying what I need to say. 2018, I've divided our Jerusalem into 20 specific mission fields. I've numbered them 1 through 20, and they'll be referred to as Mission Field 1, Mission Field 2. By the way, I want you to think about that. Absorb it. Okay? We preach here, and everybody shakes their head and says amen, that every one of us is a missionary. Well, let me tell you something that a missionary has to have if they're going to be a missionary. They need a mission field. And I've taught that your mission field is your family, and your mission field is your neighborhood, and your mission field is your place of employment. And I think that there are mission fields. But I think that there's something very unique about being given the responsibility of an area to reach for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Brother Matt here today, this goes all the way back to our bus ministry days. One of the things that they did that helped me tremendously in Bible college is when I got into the bus ministry there at Howes Anderson College First Baptist Church, you know what? They gave me a part of Chicago that was my responsibility. You think about that. At that time, by the way, they had subdivided in a military fashion, much like what we've done right here, a good portion of inner city Chicago. There were, at that time, probably close to 1,500 college-age young people that were going up there, each responsible to reach an area for the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that. And you know what? That's called occupying. It's called occupying. And I began to think about how in the world can we get the gospel? How can we achieve gospel saturation in our Jerusalem? What do we need to do? And so I begin to think, you know what? Why not divide it into mission fields? Mission fields. Now, they're numbered 1 through 20. And this is what I'm asking. I'm going to give you a week to pray about it. And we're going to have a meeting next Sunday night after the service. But I'm praying for it, asking for 20 men in our church to volunteer to take responsibility to evangelize, lead an evangelistic effort in these mission fields in 2018. So I'm asking 20 men to step up and say, you know what, preacher? Number one, mission field number one, me and my family, we'll take leadership on that, and we're going to treat that as our mission field. Now, stay with me. With the help of his family, it's going to be your responsibility to pray and plan to achieve certain goals. And I really do want you to pray about it, because, can I just say this? You know, sometimes somebody wants to be a part of something, but then they don't want to follow through with it. If you're going to do this, it's not something that you keep coming to me wanting me to do for you. It's something that you take responsibility for, and your family takes responsibility for. But I'm going to want you to achieve certain goals. By the way, I'm going to meet every month with the 20 leaders. I'm going to give you the resources that you need to succeed. I'm going to give you certain things to do. We will do this. I'm going to take a section, unless 20 people take them, and I'm going to wait because I don't mind taking anything. But I'm more than happy to take a section, because you know what? I've got more time than y'all's got. But I'm also, along with doing one of the sections myself, I'm going to start with section one, and I'm going to visit with that man in his section on Saturday, Friday night or Saturday, whatever schedule works for you. And then section two, every week I'm just moving around. And I think I can go through everybody at least two times in a year's time. And I'll be there to help you and give you ideas. Listen, there's nothing like taking the responsibility of an area. There's nothing like getting in the car and driving through every street of that area. I want you to see it the way Jesus sees it. Now, let me go on, because I'm jumping ahead on some things. Here's the goals. Number one goal, I want you to see to it that the gospel is delivered to every home. The gospel's delivered to every home. Now, you may look at some of these areas and think, preacher, there's no way in the world that we could in 1 year get the gospel to everybody that lives in this area. This is rural America, okay? Even the areas down here where I've given half of Linton, you know what? Folks, in a year's time, you can do that. I was asking Brother Young before we started. I said, you know what? I think we average probably about 6 or 8 people in SWAT coming on a regular faithful thing. And all we did was do the rural areas this year. And I did a lot of that in preparation of training for what we were going to do this year. Really, I'd hoped that we'd have more men involved in that. But you know what? With the little bit that we had for the hour and a half every Saturday that we went, we covered on this map from here to about here to about here to about here in a year's time. And that's just doing it an hour. Well, if 6 or 8 guys can do that in an hour, I promise you the area, whatever you one you get, you can do in a year's time easily. Matter of fact, I think many of you could do it twice, maybe even 3 times. Now, there's something powerful about keeping somebody in the same area, okay? When I was working my area of Chicago, I was there every week. I built relationships. I followed up on the same people every week. If I got a good lead, I was back there. You know, I got to know the people that ran the shops and the stores. I stopped and talked to the same person sweeping their step out on Saturday morning. You know, sometimes, folks, you've got to go back and be there and be there and be there and be there and build relationship and build trust. And so I'm asking for 20 men to just say, I'll take an area of this. Now, how do we get the gospel delivered? This is accomplished through personal soul winning, visit. When possible, witness directly to those that are home. When not possible, we're going to use our gospel door hanging packets that you can leave on the door with the plastic, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. Many of these mission fields can be covered more than once, but the goal is get the gospel to every door at least once in your mission field. Number 2, keep track of the good prospects and new converts and personally follow up on them. And again, don't come back from your area, walk up to me and say, hey, preacher, I had a good visit here. Would you mind going to seeing them? It's your mission field. I want you to go back. I want you to build a relationship. I want you to pray over that person. I want you to win him to Christ. I want you to walk in the door with him one of these days. Okay? And so I'm asking you to keep track of that. You know, one of the things Brother Bo Eichelman used so effectively is, and he showed me this all the time, he had a little spiral-bound pad of paper that he just kept in his pocket. Now, those of you that went visiting with him, you know that I'm telling you the truth here. And you know what? When he was visiting, he always would take that out, and anytime he had a good visit, he'd jot it down. Anytime he'd see something that he wanted to go check on, he'd jot it down. He'd ask people their name, and he'd write it down and start praying for them, and they'd start going back after he prayed for them. And you all got to watch that Brother Bo, in the same area, going back every week, building relationships, talking to people, getting to know them, building trust, was able to bring a lot of people into Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Well, guess what? You can do that, too. You can do that in your Jerusalem, okay? Number 3, identify people groups within your mission field. Now, folks, every one of these areas, there's people groups. Maybe there's a nursing home. Well, guess what? It's on your mission field. It's yours. All right? Maybe there is a senior citizen center. We have one in Jasonville. How about the fire station? How about the police station? Is there a hospital there? Hey, what are you going to do to get the gospel to it? Now, if you'll come to me, I'll talk to you about it. I'll give you some ideas. Every way I can, I'll help you. But listen to me, you're not going to give me your monkey. You see, listen, there's something so valuable about you saying to God, how do we do this? You know what it'll do? It'll break you. It'll give you a burden. It'll get you to understand we can't do this in our own power. It'll drive you to your prayer closet. If you're going to really reach an area for Christ, it'll do something to you. So what are the people groups? Nursing homes, hospitals, senior citizen centers, police stations, fire stations, jails, schools, individual businesses. What I want you to do is drive your area. You know, preacher, the weather's so bad. Well, choose an area and just for several weeks, man, just drive it and pray over it and take notes and think. Listen, we need to start seeing the way Jesus would see if he was here. And get a burden for that, okay? So ask yourself, how can I get the gospel to these people? Number 4, find out if there are any annual festivals or community gatherings in your section. Now, this is going to be so exciting. As soon as you get your section, one of the first things I need you to do is whatever towns are in your section, I need you to do your homework on this. I need you to make the phone calls. Again, I need you to do it, okay? And you tell me and figure out, is there a festival in that city, all right? Clay City, I'm seeing it. Clay City has what kind of festival? Pottery festival, all right. Three of you knew that. Pottery festival every year. Well, what I need you to do is get the dates for 2018. When is that festival going on? Listen, I want to know every single festival and the dates of it by our first meeting in February, leaders. I need you to come to that meeting saying, in my section are these towns, and you know what, almost all of these little burgs have some kind of festival. I mean, let's see here, Bowling Green. Anybody remember what they have? Oh, something like that. I love Hymeras Seafood Festival because they're right there on the ocean. And so they have a seafood festival, you know. Duggar has the what? Coal Festival. Listen, they all do this. You know what? The entire community comes to one place. Why isn't Blessed Hope Baptist Church there? And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to have Brother Young, he's going to help orchestrate this as far as I need you to bring all those dates to him. He's going to get them all on a piece of paper. And every single festival this year, not everybody from Blessed Hope Baptist Church can be involved in every festival, but you're going to have an opportunity to sign up and be involved in some of them. And you know what? What I want to do is rent a spot and put up a table. And I want to have some banners. And I want to pass out some balloons. Brother Reiser's done this very effectively. Brother Clanny's done it at the Apple Festival down there very effectively. I sat down with both these guys and said, tell me what you do. What works? And you know, Brother Reiser told me, I've got three of the families that I have in my church right now. I met at the local festival that we've been a part of. And so we just want to get out in the community, get to meet them. He told me helium balloons and popsicles. I said, I can afford that. He said, if you are giving away helium balloons, children will drag their parents over to your booth. If you're giving away popsicles out in the hot summer, they'll take them for free. We're not there to sell a thing. We're there to give something, get people, hey, this is for you. Hey, would you like some information about our church? And just talking to people and getting to know people and inviting people. And so, but when the festival is in your area, guess what? You're leading that thing, okay? You've got to be there. You've got to organize it. I hope to show up, I would love to get to every one of them. I'm going to try to get to as many of them as I can, and it'll just be a blast. I mean, come on, you get to go to festivals. Come on, you know? I mean, what was it, Corey? Apple Festival? And then we've got, let's see, what else we got here? Does Pleasantville have one? No. Sullivan? The Corn Festival. I mean, come on, they're everywhere. And so that's what we're going to do, all right? Now, if there are those things, then submit those dates to Brother Young. Number five, pray for God. Now, this is where we're going to get to the prayer part, and this is what the goals are, okay? Get the gospel to every door. Watch this. I want you and your family to pray for God to give you one family from your section in 2018 that comes and joins Blessed Hope Baptist Church. One family. Now think about this. If we're supporting a missionary, and I know there, don't get me wrong, folks, trust me, I know there's difficult areas. I know there's areas where guys have toiled for decades before they saw their first soul saved. But we're not in those areas. An entire year, we're going to talk about prayer. We're going to talk about the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You know what you're going to figure out if you haven't already? All these things you can't do with your winsome personality. I believe this has a chance to transform the Church of Jesus Christ. Okay? You got to have some of you need a reason to seek God. This will give you a reason to seek God. Wouldn't it be neat at the end of this year if 20 new families was a part of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, because 20 families that are already here decided we're going to pray over this map every day, and we're going to work, and we're going to follow up people, and we're going to keep after this until God gives us a miracle. And we had that Sunday where we watch a family from our section come forward and join Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Wouldn't that be awesome? I want you to pray for something else. Number six, pray for God to give you one teenager from your section. I call them the pearls of great price. I believe that we reach a lot of teenagers. I believe a lot of them get saved. But all through the history of this church, God has, through the bus ministry and through new contacts, occasionally just given us a young person that went above and beyond. Many of those kids are in ministry today. And you know what? I would
begin to ask God, not only do I want a family from my section, but Lord, would you just help me to look for that young person, just look for that young lady, that young man that we can reach and that would get saved and we could get plugged in where they're not just coming Sunday mornings on a bus, but they become part of our youth group. What if our youth group grew with 20 extra teenagers this year? Not kids that are just showing up trying to be knuckleheads, but somebody that God's touched their heart, they're getting it, they're excited, they want to be discipled, they want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You could be responsible for that. That's one of the goals. All right? Number seven, coordinate with each bus captain who picks up in your section. Now, every one of you here, most of you, will be working in an area that has a bus route that can pick up in. Some of the outer areas do not. You know what? What if I get somebody out there that needs to come and we don't have a bus route there? Hopefully we'll get burdened. Hopefully we understand that there's more that we could do in the bus ministry. There is more we can do in the bus ministry. But you know what? For all of you that are working areas that are also with a bus route, then the packets that we will assign you and give you to use on door-to-door will have a card introducing the bus captain and the bus route. That'll be the card that you have in your hang-up, in your door hangers, okay? And so if you sign up somebody, you'll call that bus captain. Don't call my office. Give me the name so that I can call the bus captain. You'll coordinate with the bus captain. Hey, I had a great visit. They said they'd ride the bus. Hey, bus captains, wouldn't that be fun to have some reinforcements out there? Knocking doors, highways and byways, giving you calls and getting you leads and prospects. And so you'll need to coordinate with the bus captain. Now, of the 20 men we have, and the 20 men, I want you to do some other things. Number eight. All right, we have more than 20 families here. And there may be some men in this room that said, Preacher, I'd love to be a part of this, but honestly, I just don't know if I could lead something like this. I just don't know if I want to be the... But I would partner with somebody that is doing it. So I want you, 20 men, to enlist one family in our church to help your family reach your area. My goal is that there'd be two families actively involved in reaching each area. But you know what? Anything with two heads is a monster. Somebody's got to take the leadership. Somebody's going to, listen, I can't come to you and say, why isn't this done? Well, I thought he was going to do it. Listen, there'll be one leader, one person that answers, one person that communicates with me, one person. You know, that's how we do it. But some of you may say, hey, I'd help somebody. I'd be glad to help them work through a map. I'd be glad to help them in ways that I can. And so one family. Now, if we do that, we call, by the way, if you're a leader, you enlist one family, okay? Don't. Some of you are competitive. You say, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get a section, and I'm going to enlist five families. We'll have ours done in January, okay? All right. It's not a competition. And besides that, you know what? I want people... help in all of the areas, and so enlist one family. Senior saints, listen up. I'm going to give the 20 men a list of our senior saints, and I'm going to ask every single leader to go and enlist three of our senior saints, and that means couples. You can do three couples, you can do three singles, whatever. And I want and need your help on this. I understand our senior saints, a lot of them, are not going to be able to have the physical strength, the stamina to go out there and do this door-to-door stuff. But I'm going to give every one of the leaders a map of just your area. And you'll be able to get copies from Brother Young of a map of just your area. I want you to communicate with these senior saints. Get three senior saints or senior saint couples, and I want you to take a map to them. And I want you to say, you know what, every week I'll communicate with you, or every couple weeks, I'll let you know what streets we're on. I would like you to pray for the roads that we're going to be on. If you have a visit that is really good, and you'd give that address, follow-up address, to one of our senior saints or a couple of them and say, hey, I had a good visit with a lady, and would you write her a note? And by the way, I'm going to provide for you church stationery to write those notes from. One of the things that we've got to be so careful in this crazy upside-down world is seeing some of our senior saints wouldn't feel comfortable sending letters to complete strangers with their home address on it, okay? But if you'll use church stationery, then anything that is mailed back to you will come to the church, and I'll just make sure that you get those letters. But we need your prayer support. We need you writing and following up on some of these kids. Some of these teenagers,
Maybe that leader comes and said, I may have found that pearl of great price teenager. It's a young lady. And go to some of our senior saint ladies and say, here's her birthday, and I want you to introduce her to you, and I need you to find her every Sunday that you can, and just build a relationship with her. I'm telling you, I believe an untapped resource in our church is our senior saints. And when we have the festivals and the areas where, you know what, you may not be able to do door knocking, but you could come set up your little camp chair, amen, and take a stint at one of the festivals and pass out balloons and get to meet people, clip the tops off of those popsicles and hand it to kids. And I'm just trying, listen, I don't want this to be 20 families involved. I want this to be everybody involved, everybody involved. I'm hoping right now something's beginning to burn your heart. I'm hoping not a person in here is already trying to manipulate in their mind how they can dodge being a part of this. You know, I'm not going to chase you down. I'm not going to put a gun to your head. I'm just not. I need people that want to do it. I need people that get it. But I think everybody in here, if you would, could be a part of something that could produce a miraculous year here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. But you got to choose to do it. If somebody's already come to you as a senior saint and you've got three leaders that have already contacted you, you just tell somebody that comes to you, I've already committed to three areas. Because again, I want to use all of our senior saints. I don't want just a handful of them with a bunch of them, somebody over here. So we'll make sure we get that thing spread around, okay? So enlist our senior saints. Number 10, when you're taking this area, I want you to commit to pray daily over the map of your area. Have your family pray with you over the map. Ask God to help you reach your goals. Turn these goals into a prayer list. I want you to take it seriously. For 2018, your assigned mission field is your responsibility. I want that to weigh heavy on your shoulders. I want you to drive through it the first couple times and say, you know what, if somebody dies within the boundaries of this area, blood's on these hands if I didn't get the gospel to them. I want you to take it seriously. I want you to own it. Take ownership of it. Take responsibility of it. Let it burn in your heart. And that'll happen as you begin to pray. And then number 11, a mission-filled leader should make every effort to attend the Operation Occupation bi-monthly meeting. Now, I'm going to talk to you about that in just a second, okay? Let me tell you what I'm going to be doing as overseeing this and my involvement in it, and then I'll talk about the meeting as I talk about that. Number one, I'll be the first volunteer. If 20 people don't, and I told all of our staff, Chad wants one so bad, Brother Young wants one so bad, and I said, let's let people choose, and we'll hold back. If we have 17, we'll take the last three, because we can always come in a secondary position and help and whatever. But I want one. If 20 gets taken, I'll probably just go down and do Clanny's area. You know, I don't know what I'm going to do yet, because this is exciting to me. But I'll be the first one. I want one. Number two, I'll be visiting each week with a different leader, visiting on their mission field. And I'll contact you. Sunday nights, we're going to deal with this every Sunday night. If you don't keep something in front of people, it just dies a natural death. Every Sunday night, we're talking about this. Brother Young, starting next Sunday night, is going to be sitting there. Brother Chad Gordon's going to be sitting there on Sunday night. Brother Chad's going to come up and read our missionary letter like Brother Reiser used to do. I want to keep the missionaries in front of our church. And then Brother Young, he's going to be my right hand in this, and he's going to come up and give a report where we're at, what we're doing, some ideas, some reports, and those type of a thing. We want to keep it in front of you, okay? Number three, beginning in February, I will conduct an operation occupation bi-monthly meeting. Now, I'm going to tell you, the hardest thing in the world at this church is trying to find a place to do a regular meeting. You do it before a service, after a service, and they always seem hurried or it's noisy. Now, listen, I had this brilliant idea. So what I'm going to do, every other month, February, April, and then I got to do it in May, and I'll tell you why. It'll be the 1st of April, last of May, and then August, October, and the 1st of December. Beginning in February, I'm going to conduct an Operation Occupation bi-monthly meeting. It will be with the 20 men. It will be with the 20 men, the 20 leaders, okay? That's who I want to meet with, okay? The meeting will be held on Monday nights at 7 o'clock, and it'll last about an hour. Now, the good news is this. I know a guy that owns a pizza place. And he's got a room in his pizza place. And he's already been given these dates, and we reserved the room. So on Monday night, 7 o'clock, on February 5th, April 2nd, all this is in the paperwork, May 21st, August 6th, October 1st, December 3rd, we're going to meet there. Have about an hour meeting.
And you know what? I just want to share testimonies. Listen, I'm going to be honest. Listen, I want to tell you this. I've never done this before. Guys, this, we're all going to be on a learning curve on this thing. I mean, we're going to come into that meeting, and I'm going to, probably the first meeting is, all right, you know, does anybody know what's going on? You know, and am I crazy? Somebody talk to me, you know. But every single meeting, I just want to, first of all, say, share blessings. Tell me what's happening. We just want to encourage each other. Then on different months, we're going to do different things. And this is where our senior saints, I'm going to plug in different opportunities. Like in August, I already know this. In August, Lord willing, that's when school starts in all of our area. Every single section that has a school and the sections around it that may not have a school, I want us to partner on doing something, the opening day of school, of the school in your area. And this is what I want to do. I want to walk into the principal's office with the administrative wing and his people, and I want to give a nice platter of homemade cookies and an encouraging note and a commitment to pray for them and meet the principal and say, hey, I know today's crazy and you got 1,000 things going, but Blessed Hope Baptist Church loves you and been praying for you, and they've got your name, and we're going to hold you up to the Lord. And I want to take the same thing to the teacher's lounge. And just on opening day of school, they walk in there in the teacher's lounge, and there's some homemade stuff. Blessed. Listen, folks, we want to look at these people groups and say, how can we affect them for the Lord Jesus Christ? How can we build relationships? How can we get the gospel to them? How can we get to the point where when they see us, they look and say, hey, and know who you are, okay? And so beginning in February 1st, every month we'll plan the next 2 months in the special events. And so some of you that may not be able to do this, you may get a call from one of the leaders and saying, hey, we're doing the school thing. Could you make 2 dozen cookies for it? And, you know, there's always a way people can plug in, okay? Number 4, Brother Young will be Assistant Director of Operation Occupation. He's going to help me in coordinating the assembling of the visitation packets. There'll be 6 different visitation packets, okay? Obviously, anybody that's on one of the 5 routes, you'll need to make sure that you get the packet that has the bus information for the area that you're in. There's going to be a 6th one where you're not on a bus ministry area, so we don't have the bus ministry card in there. He'll organize all that. It'll be available every Sunday night. You'll know where to go to get it. You can grab as many packets as you want. Again, great opportunity for our senior saints, some of the children, some of the young people. We're going to have assembling parties. Brother Young isn't going to be able to keep up with this by himself. So he may come up here on a Sunday morning and say, listen, folks, next Wednesday night after church, we're going to have tables set up out here. Anybody that can stay, and I'll buy pizza. That's what he'll probably say. I'll buy pizza. And then we'll have pizza fingerprints on all of the stuff that we're passing out. So. Number 5, as God blesses and you reach each goal for your area, then I want to recognize this on a Sunday night during our announcement time. And just think about doing this all year long. And be able to say, all right, how many of you are helping? Who's helping? What are the 2 families helping in section, missionary field 1? Who are the senior saints praying for that area? All right, all of you stand up. Listen, we got a rejoicing thing here. Every door's been hit. The gospel's been delivered to every door. Won't that be exciting? And then from time to time, we may pull a leader up here, something miraculous. Listen, I expect miraculous things to happen, not just once, not just twice. I think miraculous things, if we do this right, we keep the right heart, we take it serious, we understand it's not us, it's God. We're willing to pay the price of prayer. By the way, we're willing to get clean enough for God to listen to our prayers. And we're willing to be faithful and consistent in this. I mean, how neat to be able to say, okay, Section 8, stand up. Hey, we had a family join the church from Section 8 this Sunday morning. And you know what? Just rejoice together in those things. I think it'll be so much fun. And so I may occasionally have a leader come up and share a quick testimony. And I'm doing this, folks, to keep it before the church and to encourage those who are praying in the background and who are helping in the background that aren't going to know these things unless we share it with them. And so that's Operation Occupation, okay? Gospel delivered to every home. Keep track of your prospects and converts. Personally follow up. Build relationships. Identify people groups within your mission field. Ask the question, how can I get the gospel to these people? Some of these meetings, we're going to come together. I have no doubt guys are going to say, hey, I've got this group, and how do I reach them? Or we come up with an idea how to reach them. Somebody says, man, that's a great idea. We could do that in our section. Number 4, find out if there's any annual festivals or community gatherings. If you've noticed on our church calendar, I haven't planned a missions trip. I love missions trips. I really wanted to do one this year. But you know what our missions trip is? To hit all of these festivals. That's going to be our missionary outreach. And that's going to be the opportunity for your family to be involved in something. Okay? So pray for God then, number five, to give you one family. Pray for God to give you one teenager. Coordinate with each bus captain so that you can feed them bus riders. Man, you're going to be excited. First time, you're going to be back at the door waiting for that bus captain to come to see if those kids that you signed up show up on the bus. Enlist one family in the church to help your family reach your area. Enlist our senior saints to help you pray. And commit to pray daily over the map, asking God to help you reach your goals. Number 11, a mission field leader should make every effort to attend the Operation Occupation bi-monthly meeting. And I got to say this, I can't change the meeting. It's got to be Monday nights. It's got to be 7 o'clock. And it's got to be where I'm doing it. So I would tell you that I know we got shift workers. Guys, listen to me. It's impossible for me to do this, keep it organized, without meeting with the leaders. And so I do understand that there may be somebody here that just says, preacher, I just work every Monday night during that time. I couldn't come to a meeting. Then I'm going to ask you to partner with a leader and be that second family. Because, the only way to organize something like this is have all the leaders in one place every bi-monthly, go over the things, and I can't leave that meeting. Now I've got to track down three of the leaders that weren't here, and I've got to personally catch them up on it. Don't do that, okay? I understand we may have vacation. I understand maybe something impossible happens, and you might have to miss a meeting. Make sure it's an emergent. Make sure it can't be avoided. If you've already planned your vacation, I'll understand that. Miss one, but then next time be right back in there. What I'm saying is this. Don't come to me and say, I want to do this, and then have to do it and drive me crazy. Okay, that's why I'm saying I'm not asking for volunteers tonight. It's easy to hear something new, get all excited, want to do it. I want you to count the cost. You're going to build the tower, count the cost. Okay, you have the paperwork when you walk out. I want you to look at the 11 things and say, am I willing to commit to do those things? I'll be honest with you, I would be brokenhearted if a 45-year-old church with mature Christians, if we don't have 20 men, I'm just going to tell you. Like I said, I'm not going to use this pulpit, and I'm not going to spend any time bawling people out. I'm not putting a gun to anybody's head. But please tell me that there's a God in heaven that can touch the heart of 20 men in a church our size and say, you know what? I'll take one of those areas. And by God's grace, I'll get the gospel to every door. And by God's grace, we'll pray a family into this church. And by God's grace, we won't stop looking until we find that pearl. And we'll look for those people groups. And we'll look for opportunities to make a difference. I just believe that in this day and age, we still have people that get it. And so I want you to pray about it. I'm not upset if you're honest. I'd rather you be honest. Just say, preacher, I'm not really one that's my nature, my personality is not one that really wants to lead something like this, but man, hook me up with someone that has that, and will me and my family come along and help? I respect that. You know what? For every Paul, there was a Barnabas. Okay? I mean, you know what? Then there was a Silas. And you know what? Thank God there's always those secondary people that are servant hearts. They really aren't interested in leading anything, but man, they'll come and serve. And if you're that, you let me know. When we get the leadership list, you take a look at it and you know, pray about this thing. What do you think? What do you think? Somebody save me from myself right now. What do you think? Preacher, you're crazy. I know. But I think Jesus is going to come. And folks, I mean this. I was shocked when the calendar turned. And I'm looking at everything. And this could be the year. I'm not just saying like I've said it. I mean this, so many things are pointing to this could be the, Brother Joe Ashbury come to me, and listen, we don't set dates around here, you know that, but he just had a thought. He just said, preacher, he said, you know what? Israel became a nation in 1948. He said, it says a generation will not pass away. This is the 70th year anniversary of it, that happening. Hey, I don't know. I'll latch on to anything that motivates me to believe that it could be. I'm not saying it's going to be. I'm just believing it could be. And what if we get to heaven one of these days? And what if we find out that the best effort, the best year that Blessed Hope Baptist Church had was the last one we were allowed to have before we vacated this place? I mean, think about that. rapture could happen, end of this year, most of us would be gone. Brother Chad, he'll pastor whoever's left. And blessing, man. Amen. That's a blessing. Amen. That's why we keep him around here. You know, it's just, it's got to be somebody that's there to help people after the tribulation. Amen. So, praise the Lord. Let's stand. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Seems weird, it's just a quarter after eight, which is still very late, having started at six. But I knew this would take some extra time. I'm excited about what the Lord's going to do. I want three areas, but I want you to have something. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us. Lord, we want to just lift our eyes. You said to lift your eyes to the harvest, see the fields, white unto harvest. You're the one that said, pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers of the harvest. Lord, I don't know in the history of our church if we've ever done anything exactly like this. And we've done some really fun things, amazing things, effective things. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you just, we're going to take a week and pray. We're just going to take a week and pray. Well, I want husbands talking to wives and wives talking to husbands. I want people to get eat up and brokenhearted, and I want the Holy Spirit of God to lay burdens on people's heart, I mean, where they can't not. And Lord, I'm not going to play the Holy Spirit in this. I've made you that promise. I'm not playing the Holy Spirit in this. But Lord, I just believe that this could be one of the most amazing and miraculous years that we've ever seen. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll help us, dear God. You said this. You said, I sought for a man among them, should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me in the land. And sadly, that time of Israel, the children of God were so backslidden that the verse had to end, but I found none. And Lord, I'm just going to ask your Spirit to seek out those men. And Lord, I pray, dear God, you put a burden on their heart. Help us to carry it through. I pray these things in Jesus' name.